It's so good to see you here. Thank you so much for being here with us this morning at Journey Church. It is an honor to have you attend here with us. We're going to open up this talk here with a scripture that we have been opening up all of these talks with here in this series. And as we have done, we want to continue to do. Let's read this scripture here together. 3 John 1, 2. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, everybody. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much just for the opportunity, the honor, the privilege, Lord, to dig into your word. I pray, Lord, that your word goes deep into the fertile soil of our lives, God, that it would be sown there and grown there, Lord, that we would live out what we take in here today. God, guide me, I pray, every word I speak, that it would be your word, not mine. I want to be an echo of what you're saying to us here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to let you know, for those of you that are new, we are in a series here today called Juice, and we are talking about God's fruit for our lives. This series in its entirety is designed to ensure that we are juicing, that we are cramming the essential spiritual nutrients that God has for our lives. And we're using different fruits and we're using different vegetables week in and week out as a parallel to make these powerful spiritual points. And as much as there are amazing and healthy foods out there for us to physically ingest, for us to physically take into our bodies, there is spiritual fruit, there is spiritual vegetables that God has for our lives, found in His Word, that we are to take in for the goodness of our spiritual lives. Like the apple, we talked about the apple in week one and just how important it is, not just for our bodies and all that it does for our bodies, but we related apples to prayer. And how prayer is, much like the apple, a preventative health fruit. That when we pray, how many know an apple a day keeps the doctor away, right? Praying every day keeps the pastor away. Amen. It is a strength for your life in your future. If you pray every day, it's incredible. It's a preventative health fruit. And then last week, we got to look at the carrot and how important the carrot is to our life, because a carrot exists for what? Our eyes. Amen. It exists for our eyes, for our vision, and we talked about the things that in God's Word exist to give us spiritual vision for our lives. And I'm telling you what, calendars are important. Schedule your life. How many know if you want success, don't wait for it. You have to schedule your success. That a simple calendar to a Christian allows you to see down your life's road and scheduling out success inside of your lives. We really had a great time, and I'm telling you what, you may think that doesn't take, but that is absolutely amazing. Amen. And I'm a dude that just loves McDonald's. I'm telling you, it is good stuff. And just the things we've been able to talk about just so far has been to me just inexplicably powerful. But now that we've seen the need to pray, and many of you have begun to take on what it means to pray, that it's more than just forgive me, Lord, and good night, and give me, Lord, and good night, that there is importance to prayer. Now that you are praying and walking into a realm of life that encompasses true prayer, now that you are scheduling your life and seeing the importance of scheduling your life, I want to tell you that that's not it. How many know that God has much more for our lives than just apples and carrots? Amen. That there's more out there, more available to us as Christ followers for us to experience that 3 John 1, 2 state of health and wellness that God desires for your life. There's so much more out there, like the pepper. Jake, hit me with some pepper music real quick. You know what I'm talking about? We're going to talk about the pepper today. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? How many are spicy people? How many like spice on your plate, huh? Any pepper folks in the house? Amen. You like it spicy. Right? We're going to talk about the pepper here today. Because whether you know it or not, peppers. Man, and my father's Mexican. My mom is white. Obviously, I look exactly like my mother. Amen. My sister sucked all the skin tone from my father and took it upon herself. She's a thief. Amen. I am pale as anything. Amen. But in order for us to really understand how important a pepper is, man, I'm telling you, it's important to look at the health benefits of it. There are a lot of health benefits to the pepper, to just a pepper to our lives and to our bodies. Here's just some of the health benefits of a pepper. Bell peppers, for instance, are low in calories, and just one cup of peppers will give you, listen to me, more than your daily quota of vitamin A and vitamin C. And that's insane. And again, with vitamin C, your immune system is powered up, like, and it helps keep your skin looking youthful. The pepper helps keep your skin looking youthful. Peppers reduce bad cholesterol inside of our bodies. Peppers control diabetes. Peppers bring relief from pain and eases inflammation. They said the sulfur content in peppers play a protective role in certain types of cancers. The pepper. Peppers are a good source of vitamin E, which is known to play a key role in keeping hair looking youthful. Amen. I mean, I have a serious vitamin E deficiency in my life. Amen. Peppers also contain vitamin B6, which is essential for the health of the nervous system, and it helps renew and create cells. Think about that just for a minute. All that comes right there just from ingesting peppers. Like, I don't think we think about that. But all that there comes to our life just from ingesting peppers. What? Like, you think, like, that's amazing right there. And you think even what we just said would be enough. But even with all that, in the context of benefits, health experts say that one of the direct primary benefits of ingesting peppers that come with taking in peppers into our body is you are receiving a very rich nutrient called capsaicin. Let's all say that together. Capsaicin. Capsaicin, y'all. Jake, hit me with some pepper music for some capsaicin. You know what I'm talking about? Having a good time out there. I'm talking about capsaicin now. Some of you are like, you're going to do that the rest of the message. Yes, amen. Capsaicin is the primary nutrient that is found in peppers. It's the primary chemical found in peppers. And when you ingest this capsaicin chemical into your body, what it does is it causes your body to respond as if it were in a hot environment. Think about this for a minute. In other words, capsaicin, once it goes into your body, it activates certain chemical receptors inside your body, and it does one thing, and it's this: it makes you sweat. The purpose of capsaicin, which is the primary ingredient and chemical and nutrient found in peppers, exists to make you sweat. And scientists, experts, all say that one of the primary purposes of peppers, I'm sorry, front row, for what just happened there, is to make us sweat. A food that exists in large part to make you sweat. Man, I remember having memories of my late grandfather, who's Mexican, and he would just destroy, you remember that, Dina? He would just destroy jalapenos and habaneros, and it would just be throwing them down. And I remember watching him just throw those down. He'd be like, you just see sweat dripping from him. I'm like, is that even good for you? Like, look like you're about to die, you know? And he's just looking back and he goes, you have no idea how good this is for your life. And he's right. Experts say this isn't just a good thing. This is an amazing thing because sweating is of extreme importance. Sweating is one of the great internal cleaning mechanisms of our bodies. That by sweating, you are opening up your pores and getting some of the junk that we have under the surface of our skin inside our bodies out of our bodies. Because health experts all have research showing that our bodies carry a buildup of toxins underneath the surface of our skin. And sweating is the mechanism that our bodies use to send those toxins out. And one of the dangers that is really being shown in our modern day culture is we are striving to sweat less with the inventions and of technology and convenience and with the invention of air conditioning. Somebody's saying right now, don't you touch my air conditioning. I'm not going to touch your air conditioning. But with those types of things, exercising less, work becoming easier, many do not have a regular sweat life happening in your life. And we do not have a regular diet of peppers, and because of that, we are not flushing out the toxins from our bodies, and scientists say this is creating many of the health issues in our lives today because we're leaving the toxins in there. And the conclusion is this: we need to sweat. The toxins can't get out unless we open up. Oh my goodness, what a parallel right there. If I could call the pepper anything, if I could compare this pepper to anything and make a spiritual parallel here today in the context of the results that come to and from our lives as a result of the pepper, I would call this pepper church attendance. Church attendance. I want to talk to you today about the pepper of church attendance, that when you gather with God's people, you are ingesting, you are taking into your life a very powerful spiritual nutrient for your life. This is more than just a room full of people. This is a room full of peppers, y'all. Like, you may not have seen that. This isn't just that. Allow me to explain and make this parallel, because we all have, just like they said in the physical health capacity, toxins underneath the surface of our skin. We all have spiritual toxins underneath the surface of our lives. All of us have toxins in our lives. Some have more or less than others. Some have different toxins than others. But we all have toxins, spiritual toxins under the surface of our lives. Maybe the toxin that's under the surface of your life right now is anger. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's malice. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's resentment. Maybe it's stress. Maybe you are right now carrying the toxin of emotional pain or doubt or confusion or frustration or impatience, etc., etc. We all have toxins underneath the surface of our life. And if they are not let out of our lives, they will play a disastrous role inside of our lives. Think about this. These toxins are in you. Think about this. These toxins are in me, whether they were put there intentionally. You know what I mean when I say that? Like Homer Simpson eating a donut, right? You got that? Like right there. Like, maybe they were put there intentionally. In your body. Like, you chose to, you know what I'm saying with a donut? Like, how many know donuts taste good? Just the word donut, like, oh, Lord, hallelujah. Like, it just tastes so good, but there's nothing good for you in there. Man, sugar plays such a dangerous role inside of our lives. And maybe you, and just like that, maybe you chose to put bad spiritual things in. Maybe you chose to be angry. Maybe you chose to lust. Maybe you chose to be jealous. You ingested that intentionally, knowing what you're putting into your body. I may have ever decided to be mad, even though you knew you shouldn't be, right? You shouldn't be mad, and we respond with this, I don't care, right? We know we are intentional. Maybe some of those toxins are in your life intentionally, or maybe they're in there unintentionally. And what I mean by that is maybe you walked into an atmosphere that you didn't intend to walk in, and there were toxins all over the place. Some of you are like, you described my work on Monday morning. Amen. Like, right, you know what I'm talking about? You walk into a place. How many of you walk in an atmosphere where somebody's just angry and bitter and upset? How many of you know there's toxins in the room there? And so often we end up breathing it in, right? I view it like a skunk, right? I mean, they may look cute standing there, but those are things that you're going to run from the moment you see it. I've never seen a dead skunk on a road before. We don't have a picture for it, don't worry. You ever driving into a road where you see a dead skunk on the road and it just hits you, right? It just punches you right in the face. I mean, it is, whoa! I remember that we had a gentleman that used to come to this church, him and his family, Mike Branson, back a long time ago. He used to work for the science department at the local high school here, and he went off to go join the military and is doing well. But I remember he was just somebody that knew everything about biology and science. And I remember asking him one time, I was like, man, I always wanted to know this, Mike. Like when I am going into an area where there's a dead skunk and I smell that, what am I smelling? What am I actually putting into my body? And he goes, the skunk. And I'm like, what? The skunk's on the road. And he goes, well, you don't understand. There's something called decomposition, which is a molecular breakdown of that animal, and little by little, molecule after molecule, it is disintegrating and going into the atmosphere, and that skunk is going into your nose. That's what you smell. I'm like, so pieces of that dead skunk are going in me? I'm like getting upset, you know. How can I stop this? He's like, you can't, you know, when you're in that atmosphere. It just arrives into your body unintentionally. I'm like, man, that's disgusting. I'm all upset. And then he started going even further, like, you know, flagellants is the same thing. And I'm like, all right, I don't even want to hear it anymore, you know. He's like, no, you need to hear this. The average person, you know, flagellates, I forget, like, how many dozens of times a day. And he's like, so if you're in a room full of a couple hundred people, chances are about every 15 seconds, something's breaking off. And he goes, and something's going in the atmosphere, and that's them. And so I just wanted to let you know, thank you so much for letting us be a part of you this morning in a great, great way. Amen. Yeah, I was carrying that around by myself. Now you're in this with me. Amen. We are family in this room, Sister Sledge. Amen. This isn't motivating church attendance at all. Let's see, where am I at? What was my point? Oh, yeah. We all have toxins in our lives. Amen. All of us. And God has called Journey Church, God has called the local church to be the pepper, to be the spice added to your spiritual diet to help you open up and get those toxins out of you. God has called Journey Church to be that spice in your faith walk to get those toxins that you have under the surface of your life out of you. Because what happens in the local church is really a poor opening experience. It's a poor opening experience. When we gather as God's people, like when we come into this room, right? When we come in here doing what we're doing now, we all don't come in here with the right mindsets. How many know what I'm talking about? You don't come onto this campus like, hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain. Good morning, brother. Good morning, sister. Right? We don't do that. Many of us come in here at times off of the heels of a week from hell. Many of us, I mean, let's just get real. We come in here off of the wings of a challenging experience or something that has gone sour in your life. You make your way in here and we don't have the right mindset. Sometimes we walk in here with anger or the bummerness. I don't even know if that's a word, but we'll call it one. The bummerness of life. underneath the surface of our smile, underneath the surface of our hellos, underneath the surface of our, when you're asked how you're doing and you go, great, but underneath that great, it's not great. There's toxins in there. And we come in here with that mindset, that baggage, those toxins underneath the surface of our skin, and we come in and we have a seat, and then what happens? Tim comes up on the stage. The team comes up on the stage. You don't need to put that up there right now. And people come up on the stage. And Tim right here. Here's Tim, right? He'll come up here with his guitar. And this is what he does. And he goes like a, hey, all right. You know, and he'll do one of those Tim things, right? And just how he moves, right? He's just... And he's just smiling. And I'm sitting there looking at that. And sometimes I'll even come in here, right? Because we all got toxins under the surface of our smiles and our skin and our hellos. And we've got them in our lives. And I'll look at that dude smiling. And I'll look at this team worshiping. And I'll experience. And I'm telling you, wait a minute. And it's an encounter. How many know what I'm talking about? It's hard to be angry during praise and worship. It's hard to remain toxified when you got this guy leading us in this type of atmosphere. I don't know how many times I've come in with toxins underneath the surface of my skin, and during some of these songs, I'm just like, what am I doing? Why do I even feel like that? What's happening right now? I'm spiritually sweating. My pores are opening up. And that atmosphere is like a peppermint. It's capsaicin. It is kicking those things out. I can't tell you how many times I've been set free during worship. I just had a conversation with an individual here this morning, right before this service. And they said, man, I was going through some stuff. And I listened to this song. And she said, the words of the song showed me where I was. And I opened up and just realized how good God is. Isn't that powerful right there? Worship is a poor opening experience when you gather here. Scriptures say in Acts, every time you come together as the church, there should be a song. Because God knows what we need. What we do here, Journey Church, is a poor opening experience that is necessary for your life. Not just worship, but then the teaching comes, right? I see your faces. You don't. I see your faces. I see you open up as God's word comes out. Some of you are just like, right? It's crazy. I see your faces. I see conviction. I see confirmation. I see tears of joy, tears of sadness, every single experience we have together. The head nods are just, yes, that's for me. That's God's word for my life. It is an opening experience. Man, we just had what was, in my opinion, when we went to the, it's Mission Sunday, and one of the ministries we support is Beauty for Ashes, and 4 times a year, Tim and I, as some other volunteers, I know LaSenia came last time, Mary came last time, just some other folks came. It was just a powerful, powerful experience. And this past time we were there, just what was it, 2 Saturdays ago, brother? I think it was 2 Saturdays ago. It was what I consider, in my opinion, to be the most powerful chapel experience I've ever experienced in my life there. And I'm preaching just about the forgiveness of God, but the forgiveness of you. Like, you have to forgive you. And you've got to let yourself be untied from the offense in order for you to move on and head to the future God has for you. And I'm preaching, I'm sharing these illustrative stories. And this one girl right toward the end, I'm getting ready to do the altar call. And this one girl is sitting there. It's a packed chapel, wall to wall. I mean, insanely hot because we had more people in there than the air conditioning units could even handle. And we're sitting there. And this one girl just starts going, you're talking to me. You're talking to me right now. She's like, you have no idea. And starts like just yelling in the middle of this, right toward the end of the message. And usually I'm like ready to shut them down because it's like, hey, I'm talking right now. And remember God telling me, just shh, let her talk. Just let her vent. Like let her let it out. You have no idea what she's just been through. You don't know her past. You don't even know what put her in this prison. Let her talk right now. And I just shut up and I'm just watching her. And she's like, man, it's like you're talking right to me. And she starts just letting things go. Starts just letting it go. And I'm watching this woman, her spiritual pores are just opening up, and all these toxins that have been built up under the surface of her spiritual skin just starts making their way out. That's what happens when we gather as God's people. That's what happens. You even see it in conversations that happen when we gather. Even after the service, before the service, just spiritual conversations between believers of just what God is doing in your life. A lot of confession happens even in that moment, like the dear woman did at the prison chapel service. She started confessing. I mean, what's the psychological nature of confession, right? What is it? Taking what's in me and getting it out of me, right? I've been holding this in, and I want to get it out. That's the nature of it. The capsaicin that comes with the church, taking what's in us, the toxins in us, and getting them out. How many know communion? That's why we do communion. Somebody said, why do you do communion so much at this church? Maybe you came from a church that maybe communion was just maybe once a month or every now and then, but Jesus said, as oft as you do this, and I believe it is a regular ordinance that God commands the church to do. I don't believe that we do it oft enough. To remember the cross, to remember why we do and have what we have. And even when we take communion, every time I look within. It's the atmosphere of just the local church around me in that moment, and I just remember the cross. And every time I do that, it just opens up my pores and lets things out. These are the mechanisms. Worship, teaching, conversation, communion that the Holy Spirit uses to get you to open up to Him. To get these toxins that are in you out of you so they don't produce in you the spiritual disease so many believers are often walking around with today. Let me say this again. We must ensure we are making this right here a part of our spiritual diet. Again, on the surface, what you may see is a room full of people. Now can we put that picture up there? Like when we see this, I took this picture at Doug Reed right here, and I'll never forget this moment. And this is what we may see on the surface. But in the spirit, this is what it looks like. It's a room full of peppers, y'all. Like, it's what it is. Doug's just a big old cayenne right up there, man, on the stage. Like just giving it out, like getting the vessels, the vegetables, the nutrients in you to get you to open up and release those things from your life. So here's the point to the pepper. God wants us, God calls us, God commands us to regular church attendance. Not just church attendance, regular, routine, habitual church attendance. Why? Why? Because it's good for you. It's nourishing. It's healthy for you and your faith walk. And not just even your faith walk. It's healthy to your body. Like, do you have that article in the New York Times? This is from the New York Times just a couple of years ago. This is what they wrote. They had people discover this. One of the most striking discoveries about religion in recent years is that going to church weekly is good for you. The New York Times! Religious attendance boosts the immune system and decreases blood pressure. It may add as much as 2 to 3 years to your life or you life. Amen. Right? Think about this. It adds 2 to 3 years to you. So if you don't come here, you're going to die early. So go ahead. It's up to you. Amen. We got to put that on a billboard, right? Come to Journey or die early. Your choice. Amen. Right? New York Times, hashtag. Amen. But seriously, what should our spiritual spice diet look like? How often should we be coming here? How often should we make this a part of our life? What should be the regularity of that type of routine? Obviously, we're not saying that you need to be here 24/7, just like we would need to eat these 24/7. This isn't something that is as a regular part of our life as most fruits and vegetables, just like we're not saying that attending church needs to be a regular part of your life, like prayer or your devotion to God's word, which is an everyday thing. That needs to be every day pray, every day read your Bible, right? But there is a regularity to our need and God's call and command for us to gather regularly as God's people. And I see this happening so often in the American church today, where we allow things to get in the way of those routines. And this isn't something that is a new struggle, because you go back to the Bible in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, Paul says, listen, to the church, he says, not forsaking, this is a command that he's giving the church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Let's all say that together. Ready? Together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. He was even noticing that people were starting to part ways with church attendance becoming a part of their regular routine. They were leaving that routine, allowing the distractions of life to come in. And I want to tell you something, friends. This is what happens to your life when you're gathered. This has to be a regular part of your life. This is a poor opening experience. There's so much health that comes into you. That's why it's God's command for you. And we got to see that. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. What is Paul saying? What is God saying here? That every time the doors are open, get in that house. Every time the doors are open, get in that house. Get your pepper on. Because God has called you to spiritually flourish, not be spiritually malnourished. And I see a lot of spiritually malnourished believers walking around. And many times the cause of that is when they break away from the routine of church attendance. You need this. I need this. We need this. Come on, somebody say a good amen. Don't leave the pasty, bald, white preacher on the platform all alone at this point. We need this. Especially when you're born again. This morning, we have a little camera monitor that Asia has in her room, so it allows us to see into her room and her crib. And she woke up this morning, thank God, at a decent hour. And I remember just seeing the camera, and she's just staring at the door, just waiting for somebody to come, just waiting. She's just sitting there, just waiting, man. And I'm just like, here I come, right? Like, I was thinking, what if she didn't have anybody? Like, she could not make it without a family. She doesn't have the ability to grow herself. God places a family around her to grow her. And the same is true of those who are born again. When you are born, do you have that? I'm going to throw you guys a curveball back here, but no longer slaves to fear. Can you pull the lyrics up on that particular song? Who is that? Is that Kylie back there? Kylie, what up, Kylie? She's so awesome. Can you just pull those words up? Because we even sang these words here today, and I pray that you see it. Go next one. Next one. Next one. We'll get there. Keep going. Keep going. Right there. Go back. We sang this right. Oh, man, when I saw that this morning, it just hit me. I've been born again. What? Into your family. We're, we're that right here. We need this. A baby isn't born and then left to grow on their own. Baby needs the regular routine of a family. We need the regular routine of God's family around our lives for our lives to grow. Let me say it this way. If you want to grow, you got to go. Think about that next time you wake up on Sunday morning and there's something else for you to do in your flesh, like sleep in, go somewhere else, do something else. Let me tell you something. If you want to grow, you got to go. You need that a part of your life. God has called you to live life with peppers in your diet. Like I said, this is more than just a room full of people. This is a room full of peppers. Because let me tell you something, it was the church that taught me how to pray. It was the church that taught me how to read and understand the Bible. It was the church that taught me how to talk to others about my faith, how to live for God, how to push through life's challenges, how to date, how to be married, how to parent, how to never give up, how to preach, how to reach, how to keep going. It was the church that showed me how to do that, because other people played a role in being that example for me. I didn't know how to pray when I got to Jesus. Somebody told me, you need Jesus. God's Spirit came in me. That was a witness, and amen. I gave my life to Him. Now what? I didn't go home to never go to church again. And I'll tell you something, I wouldn't have made it in my faith once a month. I wouldn't have, because I have to pray, MC Hammer, to make it today. Amen. You got to pray. Like, you got to. And I didn't know how. So I started listening to how other people pray. I was like, man, listen to how they're connecting with God. And I'd ask them, like, what are you doing there? Like, what does anointing mean? Like, you know, they'd say all these words, church words, biblical words I never really understood. They'd start breaking things down, and it influenced my prayer life, standing in a circle with other people praying. Or I'd have somebody come and pray for me, and having somebody come and pray for me showed me how to pray for other people, how to read the Bible and understand the Bible. When I first started reading the Bible, like, nobody in the moment, because I was just so zealous, like, nobody told me where to start or anything. So I went and I grabbed a Bible and I started reading, like, Ezekiel, because that sounded like a really cool name. And so I'm reading Ezekiel chapter 1, and I'm just, like, seeing Sherab and all these weird names and nations and God's called. I'm like, well, what the heck am I reading? It was like just trying to decipher code, you know? I'm like, I don't even understand what this thing's about. And I go to my pastor, and I'm like, this Bible is whack, man. I don't even know what Sherab is. It's talking about creatures with heads and an eagle and an ox on one side of its face and a human person. What the heck's going on in this thing? What did I sign up for, you know? They're just like laughing, like, man, hold on. There's some Old Testament writing, and it's like, here. Start with the book of Matthew. Let's start where Jesus walked the earth. You know, and I said, when you read a couple chapters, give me a call. And the church helped me read, taught me how to read, taught me how to understand His Word, how to talk to others about my faith. You know, God calls us to be a witness to those around us. How do you do that? Right? That's something that needs to be taught to you. You need to be shown that. You need the example of those. I've had people, man, that just showed me how to express my faith to others and how to win others to Him. How to be married. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Right? We didn't know what we were doing. How many knew what you were doing when you signed up at the altar? No hands went up. That's the first time. You even have some punks sometimes be like, I knew. Nobody raised their hand on that one. We know. We don't know what we're doing. But man, getting around other married couples in the church and just watching how to dedicate yourself, how to parent. Oh, come on, somebody. How many know when you're given a child in the hospital, you're just like, what? Like, I keep this? Like, what? Like, right? Like, I got to keep this? Sure, I don't. right? Can I come back here and visit while you do this? You know, it's a big responsibility to raise a child. Crazy, man. But getting around other people, helping me parent. Man, so many of the answers we're searching for are found in the church. So many of what you're looking for is found right here, connecting with other people. That's why I love Fusion. Get a part of these Fusion groups. Starts this Tuesday. This Tuesday. Think of it more than just a Tuesday, man. It's Taco Tuesday. Hallelujah. Amen. Like you're putting some spice there. Ay, ay, ay. That's what's happening when you gather here on Tuesdays, y'all. These nights, these services, what we offer here are literally designed for your spiritual health. Don't downplay that or allow that to be hijacked by other things. Amen. So let me close this experience today. Because I don't know, this is kind of a practical reminder. I feel like I got way over here, but this is kind of a practical talk. And I have my Mr. Rogers moment just for a minute. This is a practical talk. There's nothing deep spiritual here, but again, there's power in the practical. Don't let anything take you from the regularity of this Sunday morning routine. This is good for you. You need this. I'm not saying I don't understand extenuating circumstances that pull us away from a weekend. I'm not saying I don't understand those things. I'm not saying I don't understand sickness. By all means, if you are completely under the weather, join us online. Amen. Right? We understand that. But listen, if it's anything else, though, listen, this is what the church really, I think, has lost out on doing is, if you are sick, like, allow us to pray with you. Allow us to stand with you. Allow us to connect with you. Healing happens when we gather. I think it's James chapter 5, verse 16, that even talks about just confessing your sins to one another, right? Why? So that you may what? What? Wow. I think so many people are holding so much in the world out there. They have no outlet. They have no spiritual sweating opportunity. They have no capsaicin in their life, and they're just toxins. I'm telling you, if they're undealt with, man, disastrous results. So make this a part of your routine. Don't let anything take you away from this experience.
That's right.
I was thinking, how do we close this service out today? Right? Because typically at this point I would ask the worship team to come and we would play. They're so good at what they do. You know, just play some light worship music. I'm no longer a slave. You know, you just like this awesome, inspiring moment. But I was like, I don't know, man. What do we do? And I just kept feeling party, man, at the end of this service. Let's celebrate what we have right now. Because you just, by you coming here, you just put pepper in your body, y'all. You just put pepper in your spirit. You just put it in there.